Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 20.
This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Hey! Dang, oh, you hit the birdhouse. You hit, we're here. Hey, folks, this is Bananas for Bonanza. And we're here coming to you live and in person from Andy Richter's backyard once again. He was our guest last time we did this. And we was nice enough to come over and be in his backyard. And we ain't left since. Just still hanging out. And he's not aware of it necessarily.
No, we kind of put ourselves a bit just behind a hedge a little bit. So it's actually got in a lot of nice privacy. Excuse me, privacy. I've been watching a lot of The Crown.
Oh, I know you've been. Yeah. Yeah, but it's hard to stay hid back here. I had a little bit of a confrontation with the gardeners last week. And the gardeners was coming back here.
Yeah, I saw that.
Take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
I took care of them. So we'll be all right for now. And I, as you know, I spend most of my time curled up in a box labeled Xmas decorations in the garage. Just because I figure he's not going to come looking for that till maybe if he even if he's craziest October 31st. That's the craziest people that come for the holiday, take down Halloween and put up Christmas the same damn day.
Well, friend, shots fired because I can't help it. And sometimes I'm even like, well, I know Halloween hasn't happened yet, but we get the point. Let's get to Christmas right around mid-October, if not July.
Now, does that mean you've got Christmas and Halloween up there at the same time?
Well, yeah, ever since Tim Burton said it was okay.
He did. That's fair. Tim Burton says we can mix these holidays. And at the time, it was revolution in the streets. But now I guess we've got used to it. All right. Hey, hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide is how I begin these episodes. This is Bananas for Bonanza. I am Dalton Wilcox, cowboy, real cowboy, goddammit.
Yeah.
Cowboy poet from the heart of the American West. I'm the poet laureate of the West, goddammit. And we're here to talk about best goddamn television show that ever was on television or any other medium, Bonanza. And with me, as always, my co-host, Mutt Taylor. Hello, Mutt.
It's good to be here. I understand Andy's having a little construction done at his house.
You might hear a little bit of construction sounds.
He seems to be putting up a security system with a razor wire fence. I don't know why that is.
I don't know why either.
That's weird.
That's strange. I guess he's trying to keep us in.
That's right.
Christian entrepreneur and Bonanza superfan Amy Sleverson seems to perhaps be confused about the date and place of this.
She may show up mid-episode for all we know. If she can get over the razor wire, they're still haven't finished one corner of the yard.
That's right. We have reached out to say this is happening as scheduled. And I don't know what's going to happen, but she may show up at any time. She is mercurial.
Yeah. Oh, good word.
Yep.
And that means she drinks a lot of mercury or she's had some vaccines or what?
I believe it means, yeah, she's had quite a bit of exposure to mercury.
Okay.
And that is not a good idea.
Eats a lot of fish.
And we are joined today by a fantastic guest. Oh, my goodness. This fella is he's got a podcast of his own. And we'll introduce him right now. His name is Andrew T.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
What's up, fellas?
Yeah, oh,
this is how I'm talking now.
That's good.
Or fellas time.
Fellas. Now, you know someone's inauthentic if they say fellows, but you took that W off, which, in fact, by definition, makes you a fella.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fellows. Hey, fellows.
Yeah, it ain't good fellows.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Fellas. That's some real top hat kind of language.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah, for he's a jolly good fellow.
Oh.
That ooh. W was slapped on there by City Slickers.
A dandy, yeah, to be sure.
Here. You just take it the hell off. Now, we're going to be talking today about season 1, episode 20 of Bonanza, The Fear Merchants. Man, oh man, this episode has everything. All 4 of the Cartwrights are in this episode.
Now, Andrew, this is a banner episode because sometimes you get 1 to 2 Cartwrights,
oh, really,
in an episode like this, just recycling old scripts that didn't have 4 brothers.
Sure.
Some show.
Of course.
But this one, they all showed up.
Wow.
Nobody. Yeah, everybody got the, as I like to say, they got the week off of their day jobs to come and do this episode. And there's gunfire. There is the abrupt killing of a young woman.
Wouldn't be a Bonanza episode without it. They managed to get all the hits in this one.
They got them all. There's Hop Sing has a prominent appearance. And not only that, but he kind of has 2 appearances. There's 2 Hop Sings in this episode. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Wait, to the extent that I did.
2 different actors?
Nope.
Oh.
It's the same actor playing 2 very different versions of Hop Sing in different scenes.
I did not notice that.
We'll talk about it.
See, this is why they call him the doctor who's a cowboy. He knows.
Yeah, they do call me the doctor, and now I'm up to my ears in prosecutions for various medical license bullshit. What else does it have here? There's that's all I wanted to say. But now I want to talk about Andrew T is our guest. Andrew, you got a podcast called Yo, Is This Racist?
Correct.
Tell us all about it. Who is Yo? What is it?
I mean, I guess Yo is all of us in a sense.
Oh, that's nice.
No, it is a podcast where I host it with Tawny Newsom.
You guys
may be familiar with her work. She's more of a space person these days rather than a cowboy. So,
okay.
You know, although I guess kind of a space cowboy. We take calls from your average citizen, often United States based, and answer their questions about whether obviously racist stuff is racist.
Oh, is it always obviously racist, the thing they're calling in about?
So if you think about it, it's relatively self-selecting because no one no one's really calling in to 2 complete strangers on the internet with a question. I suppose sometimes, and also I select the questions, so you know there's no point in talking about it if it's not racist.
You're saying it basically boils down to if you have to ask.
Yeah. Gotcha. If you have to ask, so often the comedy comes from the way people ask.
So then, if I never ask, I'm never racist.
That is, I mean, the best defense is a good defense. Right. I believe they say.
Don't ask. Don't ask. True. Don't tell.
Yes, correct. Yeah. As far as racism goes.
Yeah. So you have people calling in to say something like slavery. Is that racist?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about it.
The real borderline cases like that.
You know what is wild is... I believe the episode we recorded this week, we did have a question that was nearly that.
Really?
What? Yeah. Like, what was it?
It was this woman grew up in a, I would imagine, quite conservative community. And instead of prom, they had Confederacy balls.
Oh, really? God.
And the question of whether that was racist came up. which is, I suppose, look, if you grew up in the community, it could be, you know, perceived one way, or it's hard. It's just the tradition. This is, you know, we think of it as prom, etc. But she did mention specifically a bunch of dances that they learned, and multiple dances. We looked this up in less time than it took her for her to call in to ask this. We looked it up. Multiple songs have the N-word in it.
What?
In them.
Oh,
as part of the lyrics. So it's a little, it gets less ambiguous as you sort of dig.
Yeah.
About 10, 15 seconds of digging got to, well, pretty confident this is racist. And that's, you know, but that is a little, the conceit also is like, you know, we're a country built on slavery. We stole the land, the frontier from the people who lived here before. So,
well, I'm not going to say it. I disagree with that, but just that I don't consider it.
That's
my policy.
If you don't look.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
If you can't don't know. Ask.
Exactly. Don't. In fact, I'm already beginning the process of not remembering what you just said.
Exactly.
Just I make it dissipate through my brain.
Yeah. If you just like sort of defocus your eyes,
right,
and take like three deep breaths. It's largely gone.
There you go. That'll do it. That's good advice.
I feel like I've crossed the threshold now and am aware of shit I've asked before. And now I'm worried. I may need you to help me. I can't go back now.
Yeah. That is the thing. Oh. So that's the where. Yeah. You just defocus your eyes extra hard and crawl back.
So you're saying
from whence you came.
I shouldn't push forward into being a better man. I should just defocus my eyes. So I'm just
saying you have options.
Okay.
You have options.
Wow. It's like when that Mobius gives you the pills and he says you can just hang out in the computers, or if you want to, you can be it naked and covered in jail. those were the choices, weren't they?
Yeah, why take the gel?
Why? Right, I totally agree with the one guy who said I was happier.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
None of you two's never been naked, slathered in gel before?
You got to stay in, if you can stay in computer land, then you come out of the gel.
Yeah.
You can do whatever the hell you want.
I'm just saying, an afternoon spent naked in jail is probably better than you think.
All right. We're getting good advice on this episode. Well, one thing I thought when I heard you on this show called Yo, Is This Racist? I said to myself, well, from time to time, it does come up. Somebody will say, on Bonanza, there seems to be some racisms, whether it's because of stereotypical depictions of Mexican people or Native American people's people or Chinese people, or the fact that in 20 episodes, not one time has there been a black face even in the background of a scene. But so my hope today is you're going to give a clean bill of health to Bonanza.
I mean, given my limited consumption of it, this will be closer than you think.
Okay.
Man. Get ready.
All right. So is this the first episode of Bonanza you ever saw, Andrew?
I know that I must have seen episodes in syndication on Nick at Night. It's simply impossible that I haven't
seen it,
unless, of course, it's not there or wasn't there, but I believe it was.
Was it? I don't know. That's a good question.
I want to say TV land.
Something like that.
Yeah. It just feels like impossible that I haven't seen it. I recognize the opening credits.
Mm. Oh, uh-huh.
So, but I'm not like a, I'm not a fan per se.
Well, you weren't a fan.
I weren't.
I think if you just defocus your eyes and don't look too hard, you'll find
you are. I kind of did. You know, my laptop kind of got there anyway. You know, it was just kind of a little smeary, a little late at night.
These episodes clock in at about 44 minutes or so. Yeah. Or longer. No, they're 49. You get a full 49-minute episode out of one of these. Right. And there always tends to be a plot twist or two that loses me.
Yes.
There's a point in the show where I just begin to say, I have lost the thread.
Yeah. I just feel like there's a tighter edit in this episode for sure.
Oh, yeah. You generally do feel
there's
that
a couple,
way.
Yeah. We could lose a couple scenes, maybe an act. It feels like act three is fairly extraneous.
That's generally where it begins to feel like you've added another complication and I'm lost. Doesn't impact on my enjoyment of it at all. In fact, it's nice to take a little break from understanding what's happening in the middle of a television show. I appreciate that.
Sure.
To just sort of, now my mind is wandering because I no longer know who that is or what's happening.
It feels like watching like a very focused teenager who doesn't like you very much play like that cowboy video game.
Oh, Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, you sort of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Why are you talking to him now?
That's a true story because I did watch a friend of mine, watch that. I swear to God, he spent 45 minutes just collecting herbs and fever few flowers, and I was like,
really?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of chores, a lot of
shaving.
Go up a path.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. That sounds like I might enjoy that.
Yeah,
game. I didn't know there was video games about cowboys.
Oh yeah, this one's real popular.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't have a video game system, so I play the board game version of it. But it's
I tell you what, maybe we figure out a way to talk Andy Richter into getting one, and then we cross the final threshold into the house itself.
That's not a bad idea. We could do a home invasion like that movie, The Strangers or Straw Dogs or something.
I ain't seen it.
I ain't neither, but I know at least how to reference it.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. You have a cocktail party level conversation about that movie.
That is the limits of my sociability.
That's all you need.
Since we're throwing out ideas here, though,
sure.
Since now that I think it is time for a cowboy themed horror movie.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Sort of the strangers outside, but just a tip of the hat to you, you know?
Oh, yeah. That'd be real nice. There was that bone tomahawk with the manliest man ever invented this side of Sam Elliott, Kurt Russell.
Tomahawk?
Yeah, yeah.
You know I'm watching it tonight.
Oh,
bone
yeah.
Bone tomahawk. That I was thinking genuinely that was the last Western I watched before this episode of Bonanza.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah. That movie. Harrowing.
I ain't never heard of this movie.
It's zombies too, so you'll want to be careful.
Holy shit.
You know, he's a monster hunter.
Well, yeah. I don't necessarily hunt them. They just seem to drift into my life. Like, for instance, those gardeners I was telling you about.
Yeah.
That turned out to be a coven of vampires.
You're going to like this bone tomahawk. It has a scene so harrowing that I went and paused the movie, found the script. And just wanted to see how they'd written that scene.
Really? Now, I'm curious. Maybe we should watch this for the next bonus Nanza.
That's a good idea. Bone Tomahawk. We're going to watch it.
Did you read
the script because you were scared and you wanted to read on the paper how it ended?
No, I
do that sometimes. I get scared and I pause it and I go to Wikipedia and I read the plot and I go, okay.
I have done that with a Saw movie before.
I'm too scared.
Yeah,
damn it.
And it just diffuses it. The little white text of Wikipedia or white page of Wikipedia just really gives you makes you feel like you have the map to the movie. But
exactly.
It was more that this was I truly was just curious how one scripts an action scene so specific.
What'd you find? Was it kind of word for word, or did they take some liberties on set?
Well, if we're on this digression, the script for Bone Tomahawk is quite a good one. This may be the one that they sent to the Writers Guild members, because it feels like in production this would be lunacy.
Oh.
But the action lines are essentially written in cowboy vernacular as well.
I love
Whoa.
It.
So it is a
this
very...
This script was written by a real cowboy.
Maybe it was unearthed as a sort of written in the 1800s.
It was sort of just like a play that I assume would have gotten someone strung up for witchcraft had they written it in the 1800s.
Oh, man.
But I'm trying to think. The phrase that I remember them using over and over again is the characters claim their hats instead of picking up the hat and putting it on their head.
That's right. A cowboy claims
so when you take off a hat, do you cede your hat?
I don't know if they used that specific language, but I just remember claim the hat multiple times, and I guess I will simply spoil it for you. It's a probably 5, 6, 7-year-old movie at this point.
Well, we ain't watched it yet, so wait, like a big spoiler?
Okay. No, it's just the scene okay. in question. I will just say they use the phrase bisected man.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's a hell of a scene.
Whoa. Yeah, I'd like to see a man bisected.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who writes like that?
Yeah, no kidding.
In production, that means you're telling probably a lot of set designers and special effects people and et cetera, like, this is what I mean in plain English. So the script is simply not in plain English.
Wow.
It's wild, wild, wild stuff.
Well, I will say, just as a point of clarification, when a cowboy, if a cowboy ever needs to take off his hat, that is referred to as revoking the claim to my hat.
I see.
And then reclaiming
it. Is there paperwork involved every time you want to put on or take off a hat?
Yes, there is. That's why most cowboys travel with a notary.
Wow, I've been unpermitted doffing my hat for most of my life.
See that? Now you're in trouble. You shouldn't admit that.
I know, I just admit it.
We're going to edit that out.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we begin to talk about this episode, The Fair Merchants, episode 20, season 1 of Bonanza? Well, first, I did do a little bit of looking into people who was behind this episode. We talk a lot about a television show called Appointment with Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Lewis Allen, who directed this episode, also directed a movie called Appointment with Danger, which to me, I think most people would just cancel that appointment.
Yeah.
Wait, is this a movie? Was it a television movie?
It was a movie.
Part of Appointment for Adventure?
Nope. Appointment with Adventure was a television show. This was later on. He had a movie called Appointment with Danger.
This guy's got a real niche.
I'll tell you. But listen to what this movie was about. Alan Ladd starred in it. It's when a ruthlessly dedicated postal inspector investigates the murder of a coworker, he finds that the sole witness, a nun, has been targeted by the killers. This is a movie about a postal inspector and a nun trying to solve a murder together.
Well, that classic. Sounds like a recipe for success.
Absolutely.
I don't know what else to say. Also, Appointment with Danger, claim your hat. There's just a lot of bureaucracy activity here that, you know, and all kinds of routines you got to go through.
Yep, that's true. The original title of that movie, by the way, was The Postal Inspector.
A little better.
Yeah, a little better than Appointment
More
with Danger.
More to the point, yeah.
I'd love to see a movie called The Postal Inspector. Find out what those guys get up to.
Yeah.
This episode, the story was by a guy named Frank Unger, who has no other credits on IMDb. Just coming up with the story of this episode of Bonanza.
Wow.
That's it. He went out. He came in high. Came in hot and went out.
One and done.
One and done.
One script Unger.
Too woke for the era.
Yeah.
Oh, this episode?
Too woke for the times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
I feel like my man... distressingly ahead of his time in multiple fronts.
Well, that explains why he only wrote one script. Yeah. He just run out of Hollywood at the time.
Like, we're going to need a distinctly different point of view. Yeah. My man.
Yeah.
Ted, was it?
Well, Frank Unger.
Frank.
Get out of here, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Evans, who played the mayor, Andy Fulmer, was in a movie called Assigned to Danger.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
What is going on here?
And that movie is about an insurance investigator. Who poses as a doctor to investigate a payroll robbery.
What? How many somethings to danger is there?
And it all involves sort of low-level bureaucrats.
And a lot of medical fraud this episode. We're doing that. Is there a world where there's some sort of business advantage to giving your... whatever creative product at the time, an A title. I feel like if you're at the top of those catalogs, these are analog catalogs. People, if you're a tired, you know, someone choosing what to syndicate or what to put on in a rerun.
Oh, sure.
There's probably an advantage of being at the front of that book.
Like double A Aardvark to Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aardvark to Adventure. There must be plenty of movies by that name.
Yeah. Triple A Adventure Murder.
Triple A presents Aardvark to Adventure.
Yeah, you may be onto something. Gene Evans was also in a movie called A Knife for the Ladies.
Oh.
And this, on the poster, it says, when the Ripper slashes, grab your throats and pray. Making it sound like people have more than one throat.
Yeah.
When the Ripper slashes, grab your throats and pray.
Nothing in there about running away?
Nope.
Okay.
As soon as the knife comes out, grab your throats.
Okay.
Is that that's the first line of defense, having been... threatened with a throat slash?
Yep.
Seems tough.
Yeah.
Seems that's not... I mean tuck your chin maybe even.
Yeah. At best, you're going to get your hand cut.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, now it is time to officially inaugurate
the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars drinking game. Here I go, opening up a can of Schlitz. Here we go.
Whoa. Oh, boy.
A fair amount on me.
Well, it wouldn't be Schlitz if it didn't spritz.
A fair amount of Schlitz on
a
my body.
A good Schlitz will spitz all over you.
On my cowboy shirt. Well, could be worse. I'm going to roll around in some manure later and just smell a little better.
But, yep, that's right. So, there's a television show, I ain't never seen it myself, called the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars. And it seems like just about everybody who was ever on Bonanza walked through the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars. And so now we got a drinking game every time that happens.
I think they
Schlitz.
Literally walk through the set. You have to do an episode to get to the set of Bonanza. That's
it begins to seem that way. That yeah. it almost begins to feel as though the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars was compulsory.
Yeah,
you had to do it.
Those contracts.
I know.
Oh,
back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah.
Well, that may be part of it.
You're signing and, up you for know, quite a raft of stuff.
Schlitz was really the Amazon of the 50s and just ruled Hollywood. We all yeah. know it. Yeah.
Monopoly. Helen Westcott played Amanda Ridley. Her father was killed by Walt Disney in a game of polo.
Excuse me?
Well, I'm reading between the lines a little bit. This was during the Hollywood polo craze in the 1930s.
Not to be confused with the actual Hollywood backgammon craze.
No, oh,
the
no.
70s, the late 70s.
Oh,
that's
very
that's
different.
A real thing as well.
This was different. This was much better because this okay. was it became for a while very fashionable to play polo, which is an extremely dangerous game.
And not easy to just say, hey, let's go play polo today.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like, well, now it's kind of like how golf is now. Like, if you want to get business done, you right. better get out there on the polo field.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you got a lot of people saying, sure, I play polo, boss. And then getting themselves literally killed.
Wow.
And so this fellow was, he was playing for the MGM team versus the Walt Disney team. And he was an actor, and he died. But anyway,
because of a polo a mallet hit to the head, or what?
What I saw was that his skull was fractured when his horse fell on him.
Yeah,
I don't know how
a lot,
that
a lot of horse falling. Yeah. I kind of imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, the horses just fall over.
It's almost head. As if the horses would not choose to be involved in a game like this.
Yeah, they're falling down in protest.
I don't know what, but it can't be that because we all know that the horses want to play polo just as much as the humans.
That's
do.
True. Yeah.
Well, maybe the horses want to be used. They should. I should be driving cattle. God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing. Trying to put a ball in a net.
Or I'm the one. Give me the mallet, coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need this chump on my back.
Just telling me where to go.
Ding, deedle, deedle, ding, deedle, ding, deedle, ding.
What's that?
Well, isn't that put me in, coach? I'm
oh,
ready to play center
put
field.
Me in, coach. I'm ready to play center field.
Yeah. It might not be, but let's all imagine
that
it
felt
was.
Right, actually.
It was close you. Enough.
That's one of the rare jokes that did improve with the explanation. I needed the explanation.
I told you I am reference work. Deep, and that is it.
We got also Helen Westcott was in a movie called Monster on the Campus. And this is about a science professor is exposed to the irradiated blood of a fish, which causes him to regress into a caveman.
Whoa. Okay.
And again, we must take a sip of our Schlitz because Helen Westcott was on the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
What kind of fish? A radioactive fish?
Irradiated fish blood.
And that turned him into a caveman and not a fish?
That's right.
Okay.
Because it was like some sort of prehistoric fish.
I see. Well,
irradiated fish blood, a.k.a. literally all the food that we eat these days.
Yeah, the mercury.
Truly straight up. Yeah. We eat a ton of it, all of us.
Yeah,
you open up a can of tuna, you are exposing yourself to irradiated fish blood. We're all lucky we're not cavemen.
Basically, it's now Schlitz canned irradiated fish blood. That's what you opened up.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Frank Ferguson played J.R. Ridley. He was the medical examiner in the House of Wax.
Oh.
Which that just seems like this person's been covered in wax.
Yeah, pretty straight up.
Yeah, yeah. It was before the days of gel.
Cover somebody.
A lot of tragedies before the gel discovery got made. Yeah.
Not as a. I mean, wax in small measures can be an exciting afternoon, but if you mm-hmm. cover yourself in it, you're basically suffocating. Mm-hmm.
You'll be a dead person. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we must again drink our Schlitz for Frank Ferguson appeared on the Schlitz Playhouse. Jesus, we're going to get hammered.
That's good, irradiated fish blood.
Hmm. Christopher Dark was on Shirley Temple's Storybook and the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars, and he played Jesse Tibbs in this episode. Mm. Guy Lee, who plays 18-year-old Jimmy in this episode, he has a few credits, but the one that I'm sure...
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
He got more work. Oh, thank God.
He got a little more work.
I mean, any more work. Yeah. More than I would have thought.
Yeah, that's true. Well, but listen to one of his credits.
Oh, no.
Good heavens. One of his credits is in the film The Three Stooges Go Around the World in a Daze. He played Chinese Mo.
Yeah.
That had to have been a difficult day.
I genuinely think there's a extremely high chance this episode marks the pinnacle of his creative career.
Uh-huh, yeah, that may truly be. He did come back to Bonanza. They had him back in.
No kidding. Yeah. I do often wonder, I like to pick an actor like that and try and see if I can track the trajectory of their life. Like, did he continue acting or did he go on to do something else? I would like to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. We'll dig further into Guy Lee, if you like.
Yeah.
Ray Strickland. Well, this guy, I did look further into him. He played Billy Wheeler, and he left acting to become a publicist and then returned to acting.
Was he, though, not in Publicist to Adventure?
Yeah, he was in Publicist to Adventure.
Okay.
He was in an educational film called Should I Marry Outside My Faith? Which is...
Yeah.
Educational is a loose to education to adventure.
It's 30 minutes long, and I watched every minute of it.
Oh, I am a little jealous.
Yeah, but also we must drink because he was on the Slitch Play. Wow.
Well, is it okay to marry outside your faith?
Yeah, 30 minutes seems like a long time for them just to say no over and over
That's about right. I'll give you the upshot of it. He goes and he visits he's a Protestant and he wants to marry a Catholic lady.
Oh, so he's reaching real far.
Oh, yes. Intolerably across the Rubicon.
Yeah.
And he goes talk to the Catholic priest, and there's a bunch of different arguments, but the most salient one, what it boils down to, is he says to him, your wife, if you should marry this woman, will be honor bound to do everything in her power to convert you to Catholicism. And if she fails, she will be considered to be living in sin. And then he goes and talks to the pastor, and the pastor says, you know, you must do everything in your power to convert her into a Protestant.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
So that sounds like that's going to be an eventful marriage.
So he didn't end up marrying her, or did he?
Well, I don't know if you want. Do you want spoilers?
I'm ready.
All right.
It won't stop me watching it. I mean, this just sounds amazing. Yeah,
it's more good about the craft.
It is. Right.
It's the story.
There's no
it's
spoiler.
The journey.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe it, because I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat, because these two love each other. But they're being told, if you get married, it will be a living followed by an eternal hell. And this is a real struggle. And then the damn thing ends without a decision being made. Ooh. I think it ends the way it ends. I think the purpose of it is a pastor is supposed to show it to a couple that's going through this same decision. And the way it ends, he turns to them and says, well.
Oh, right.
I think that's what it is. There's no definitive conclusion.
Like, well, let me pull the second VHS tape and we'll finish this off.
My God. Wow. That's the ultimate cliffhanger.
It is, exactly.
Oh, my God. That's a M. Night Shyamalan without a twist.
A twist.
Yeah.
The twist is there's no twist.
No, it's not an M. Night Shyamalan.
The twist is there's no twist. Nobody's ever tried that.
Yeah.
Got it. Someone's got to do it.
Wouldn't
Bonanza,
that be great?
Bonanza could try it in the third act.
Yeah. Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan, if it just comes through and there's no twist.
Yeah.
I love
that. Like, the line is, you didn't ask, but I don't see dead people.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't think you did. Okay. The end.
No one does.
Yeah. I'm just a troubled young man, and you survived that gunshot.
It is living. We are living in the past here. There's no. We're just in a village in the 1800s. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, relax. Yeah. Everything's fine.
You know, it's not the best life, but it's the best that we can do given the time and the technology.
Yeah, and there are weird little hedgehog wicker people that walk around in red cloaks.
But I just have a habit of filling up a glass of water and drinking a little bit of it and putting it down.
A lot.
Doing it again. I ain't even seen that movie.
Reference deep.
Yep.
Very nice.
There you go. Philip Ahn. He played Lee, Uncle Lee, in this episode. He, let's drink our Celebsy.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's play our Star.
He got more work? Hell yeah.
Yep. He left acting to open a restaurant called the Moongate Restaurant, which was a Chinese restaurant people liked a lot in the 60s and 70s. He also was in a movie called Tex Rides with the Boy Scouts, which sounds to me like a serious accusation.
Was that Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Wow. Must be.
Moongate.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Patricia Michon played Sally Ridley. She was in a movie in 1960 called I Passed for White.
Oh, I passed. Great. You're wonderful stuff.
It's about a girl who got one of her parents is white and one of them is black, and she ends up, not unlike Should I Marry Outside My Faith, yeah. She marries a white fellow without ever disclosing that she is partly a black person.
Okay, good for her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they have all kinds of problems. Arthur Space, what a name. Wow. He played Cyrus Hammond. This guy, boy, this one, now I went down a real rabbit hole or a lion hole. This movie, he was in a movie in 1973 called Frasier, the Sensuous Lion. Now, I've never seen a movie with a title anything like that.
Wow.
So I had to know more. Here's the description. The secret to Frasier the Lion's ability to father a record number of cubs is sought by zoologist Marvin Feldman, who travels to the California Lion Country Safari to study the beast. Once there, the astonished zoologist discovered that Frasier can speak and that the lion is being hunted by a rich man who wants to kill the animal in order to attain his sexual prowess. It's up to Marvin to come up with a way to foil the billionaire and save Frasier's life. Now, turns out, this is a true story.
Every part of it. The talking lion?
Every part of it. There was a lion named Frasier at a California safari preserve who was very old and very difficult to look at because he had some jaw deformity and his tongue hung out all the time. But the ladies couldn't keep their paws off him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to leave it to Sarah Vaughan, jazz singer Sarah Vaughan, to tell you the rest in this song she recorded Frasier the Sensuous Lion.
Oh, my God.
Where she gets very specific about the veterinary care that the lion received.
This is... You're not even giving us time to process every level of this.
I'm not. This is a Sarah Vaughan.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
First they combed his tangled tresses, housed him with the lionesses, thinking him a harmless old grandpapa. Fed him niacin and fluoride, B1, 2, 6, 12 and chloride, clams, cod liver oil, cobalt and copper. Younger studs brought in for breeding, wound up beaten, bruised and bleeding. Every dawn the same thing kept occurring. Stretched out in an old serape, there lay Frasier tied but happy. All his ladies on the nest and
buried.
Oh, cruel is fate.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a great song? Now, what's the target market for that?
For the song or the movie?
Either, but the song.
I assume one has to be influenced by the other. I hope to God.
Oh, I never thought that was like part of the soundtrack or...
It might be part of the soundtrack.
I hope.
I don't know.
Unless it's a story that just so gripped America that...
And Sarah Vaughan.
Yeah.
Everybody had to get their...
Sort of...
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder about... Because I'm not a musician, but I sometimes wonder about the songwriting process, and I didn't think it could simply be a list of medical care for her.
Yeah, that's a long list of... she must have read an article and just wrote it down into her lyric book.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder.
Reformat it a little bit. Right. You know, lyrics.
Is there a subgenre of famous pop stars singing wildly specific songs about animals? Because now Michael Jackson had that song about the rat.
Oh.
Remember? Ben?
No. Oh, Ben, that was about a rat?
I believe so.
I thought it had to be about a bear.
Will you check that out?
Fine. I am on a computer. Let's see here.
Rat sounded so familiar when you said it, but then bear also sounded...
Ben, I do remember it's a very sweet love song.
Well, am I living it? I mean, either way, it's a song about an animal, but I feel like it's about a rat.
Well, how am I going to find... Ben, song, Wikipedia's... It was performed. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's see here. How do I find out if it's about a rat?
Well, what doesn't Wikipedia tell you? Go to Wikipedia, where Rick knows a lot about these things.
Hey, the Brady Bunch performed it too. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say Michael Jackson.
Yeah, let me look it up too.
Now you have some idea of how long it takes me to learn things on the computer. Ben, and then I'm going to say rat. Okay, Ben. Nope. How many rats were used in the movie Ben?
No.
Now, that's what I want to know. I don't care anymore about Michael Jackson.
The AV Club says Michael Jackson's first solo number one hit was an ode to a rat.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's in the Animal Songs canon, Ben may be the only love song about a rat. And it's from the movie Willard. And that's funny because I was thinking, is the song called Willard? That's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wait, does that mean that other, the Crispin Glover Willard, a remake, clearly?
Oh.
Because that's a rat. That's a creepy rat, man.
Oh, right.
Huh.
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
Well, shit.
That's interesting. Well, now I want to know how many of other Michael Jackson songs are being sung to rats, but they just don't. It's not as obvious.
Maybe all of them. Billie Jean.
Yeah.
She could be a rat.
Yeah, she could be.
Yeah.
Kid is not my son. It's a rat.
Or, yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Eat fat.
Fat.
Yeah. That's probably just about,
those are about rats.
Like a hippo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love Michael Jackson's Eat It. That's his best song.
I'm a fat man myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Well, also, just let's round out this here. Arthur Space was also in a TV show called Bigfoot and Wild Boy. And Schlitz Playhouse of Stars.
All right.
God damn.
Take a drink. And I'm also thinking specifically about medical procedure songs. Madonna's song Like a Surgeon is also like that.
That is
too.
A good one. Yeah. Madonna never did any better than Like a Surgeon. That was or as I always call her, the Material Girl.
That's right. Oh, and the Kinks sang about Yoda too, so there's another animal song of sorts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Kinks. All right, folks.
Going back a little bit, do you think we could if some listener could go ahead and try the procedure as outlined in that song, because all the steps are there.
They're all there.
All the ingredients are there. So someone give it a shot for
if you have access to a lion.
Well, you just think you could take the niacin and whatever.
A person could do it.
Oh, right.
I bet it would really help one's virility.
Mm, what a good idea.
Yeah.
So go find yourself the lyrics of that Sarah Vaughan song and write it down and head over to CVS and just load up on all those ingredients. Yeah. And take it and then see how many lion cubs you can spawn.
Yeah. See what happens.
That's how you make a lion.
That's how you make a lion.
For a lion.
Yeah.
Well, this is where we would pause for a commercial break. We don't do commercials on this damn podcast.
Don't need them.
Damn.
But if we was to do it, we'd do it for Schlitz.
We'd do it for Schlitz. We'd say, this is Dalton Wilcox for Schlitz Beer. I just drank more of it than I cared to. But I'm fine.
This is Mutt Taylor for Schlitz Beer. I don't just drink it, I bathe in it.
Yep. You sort of add enough agar to it, that becomes the gel, the thing.
Agar, man.
Little secret.
That's a reference I really dig into, because all I know about agar is that when cartoon characters eat it, their heads go small.
Is that right?
You don't remember? Or is that Alar?
I have no idea.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Alum. That's Alum.
Alum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that stuff dehydrates you quite a bit. Agar is the stuff from science class, those little jelly dishes that you put the bacteria and whatnot on.
That's right.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know nothing about no science, and I don't care to.
All right.
Shall we just dig right into the episode now?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Let's do.
The Fear Merchants. This was an unbelievable episode of Bonanza. It opens in Virginia City. There's a table of Chinese men sitting in a nice place. Turns out this is a tong, the tong. This is, they're having a tong. And they are there. Now, this is where I had to rewind it and watch it again. Hop Singh in this show is the cook at the Ponderosa Ranch, and he normally speaks with a very sensitive and thoughtfully portrayed.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Chinese
yeah,
accent.
That's right.
Oh. His Chinese accent is it's something we can all enjoy for its authenticity and its hilariousness. But in this scene, he doesn't have it.
And does he later in the episode?
Yes, he does. In the very next scene, he has his usual.
So here was my thought on that as a device, because it is actually one that I have considered using in stuff I've written, which is that when he's speaking unaccented American or American accented English,
yes,
he's meant to be speaking in Chinese. Oh, I believe that was goodness. The device.
Oh, so they're doing the Hunt for Red October method.
I think so. Yeah. I think. Although I had that thought initially, and then I do think it maybe doesn't track because, but then Jimmy, I guess his whole thing is he's American, so maybe because.
But then the other implication might be that Hop Singh does not have
a
stereotypical thing. Right. He does it exactly. Just to make the Cartwrights feel good about themselves.
I mean, like that better. Yeah.
I thought of two possibilities myself. One was that he does not speak in that accent. He speaks
because no one does. Is critical here,
but he puts it on when he's around all the Cartwrights and everybody else in Virginia City because that's what they expect.
Right, that's what they want. Give them what they want.
Now there's that, but then my other possibility was that the actor playing Hop Singh, once he got into a room with a bunch of other Asian American actors, said, "I can't do it."
Yeah, or they all looking at each other like, "Which one of you is going to be the first?" And no one did.
Well, did. Now, but I never considered this other possibility that we're meant to feel that they are speaking to one another
that was my thought for about 5 minutes, and I didn't go back and track it. I think that might not hold up, but I thought that, you know, for quite a few minutes of the episode, I thought that was the device.
But that, you know, they would be speaking presumably Chinese to each other. So,
yeah. Well, maybe, but maybe not, because Uncle Lee, his whole thing is, we're in America. I'm going to give my son an American birthday party.
Yeah.
I'm going to propose a toast, which is an American tradition. And he's all about. He's a big fan. So I don't know. Maybe they would speak English together.
It also does feel like maybe all of these things were sort of true at some point in the production.
Yeah.
Well, that happens a lot. Like as a for instance. Here's a for instance of that. If you watch this episode at various times, the family name of Lee and Jimmy is Chang, Chung, Ching.
Jesus Christ.
Or Cheng. It depends on who's saying it and in what scene.
Yeah.
Ben Cartwright says Chung and Chang. Just from scene to scene, it changes.
Maybe if you download the script, you'll find the whole thing's written in stereotypical Chinese vernacular and, you know, like all the stage directions, like Bone Tomahawk.
Exactly.
My God.
Yeah. So that was a little confusing to me. But anyways,
I bet.
I suppose. Yeah. That's what happened.
Or distressingly not confusing,
It's probably very crystal clear.
What's the difference? He says Ching, I say Chung. What difference does it make? Well, on IMDb says Chang, so we'll go with that. But so that scene, that's what we learned, that Hop Singh's cousin Jimmy's having a big 18th birthday party, and so there we go. Now, after that, he walks out and he's back to his old Hop Singh ways, and he runs into Jesse Tibbs and Billy Wheeler, a couple of bad guys, and they beat him up for being Chinese. And then they say, we got to get a lot more of these Chinese out of Virginia City before it's a fit place to live, they say.
All right.
And that's boom, now into the credits. Bing, bada boom, bada doo, bada
doo, boop. I did have a very general non-Bonanza Watcher question that on its face will sound like the dumbest question on earth, but maybe Virginia City's in Virginia.
No, it isn't. But
okay.
And frankly, I can't understand why you'd think that.
Why would they put Virginia City in? It's not like you put Kansas City in Kansas.
I guess that's true, actually. Yeah. Right.
Well, you might put one of them.
And there's Paris, Texas. Where the fuck is that?
Yeah. It's Paris.
Virginia City is in. It's in Nevada.
Yeah. Nevada. Okay. The West Coast.
Right over the California border.
Yeah. Everything else read that. And then they kept on saying Virginia City. And I was like, I should. Could easily have looked it up.
Oh, no.
Went ahead and did not.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Sort of a West Coast gold rush kind of building the railroads kind of folks.
Yeah, and they've brought enough of Virginia's deep south with them
yes.
to make it feel like Virginia, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, that's true. By the Virginia attitude in Nevada.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, this is the 20th episode to feature the burning map in the opening credits, and now we go to the Ponderosa Ranch House, and we see Hoss and Little Joe, and Hoss is very concerned about eating bird's nest at Jimmy Ching's, he says, birthday party. And then Hop Sing arrives barely conscious on a horse. He's barely maintaining consciousness on this horse. Pa asks him, what happened to you, boy? And he says, it's Chinese business. And then what they're talking about how they're going to go try to defend Hop Sing. But Adam says, I don't want to start any more trouble for the Chinese than they already have. Mm. By defending.
The Chinese business was weird because mm-hmm. it didn't, from the previous scene, seem like Chinese business.
Oh, yes. It's like birthday party planning.
Yeah. Oh, but the white guys.
Oh, I see what
you're saying. The trouble part of it seemed distinctly not Chinese.
So Hop Sing is beaten up by a couple of white guys, and when his friend's employers ask him what happened, he says, it's Chinese business. Right, you're right.
I actually thought that was going to be the central misunderstanding of the episode, that he refuses to, I guess.
He thought Jesse Tibbs and Billy Wheeler was Chinese.
Yeah, it felt like there was a chance. I was like, what are you talking about, man?
Oh, yeah.
But no, they let it go.
He just didn't want their help. Well, now we have a scene here where Uncle Lee wants to buy 18 tiny American flags to put mm-hmm. on Jimmy Chang's birthday cake,
right.
which is a very specific desire in a frontier town. But he manages to find a store that has them.
Yeah, he sure does.
Or doesn't.
Or doesn't. But yeah, there is Jesse Tibbs telling the shop owner, oh, no, you don't have them, right? Don't sell them to him. Just to be a dick.
Yeah.
He doesn't sell them. And then Uncle Lee walks outside, runs into Pa and Adam. Oh, by the way, this was a moment. All four Cartwrights ride into Virginia City. And then Pa says to Hoss and Little Joe, you guys go pick up the present for Jimmy Chang. And I thought, oh, shit. That's it. We'll never see him again in this episode, because that's what happens a lot.
Yeah,
they'll ride into Virginia City, and two of them will have a reason to go do something, and we'll never see him again. I was afraid.
Did they ever reveal what that present was?
They never did.
Oh,
they sure did.
Oh, that's too bad.
Man,
that present was a prominent feature in this.
It was big.
I know it was big. It looked like a, I don't know, like a whole suit. Maybe it'd be a suit or something.
Oh,
like a
sure.
suit set or
a
something.
College suit.
Oh, probably a college suit. Yeah, maybe he got him a mortar board and robe. You know,
this
gown.
Is for you later.
Yeah.
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 And
he
a tassel.
Says he's going
one
to college.
Day.
Yeah, exactly. But, okay, so then Pa and Adam get right into the problem about the American flags, and they walk in there to the shop, and they buy some little American flags themselves, and it's very tense scene. But after it, I went back and rewatched this 1,000 times. Shut up, crows. Damn crows making fun of us. Now, what does Ben Cartwright say to Adam Cartwright in this scene?
Okay.
All right. This is, they walk out. They've had a confrontation with Jesse Tibbs in this store, and they walk out. Here we go.
Adam, you shouldn't let Jesse Tibbs get under your skin that way.
I can't help it. Nothing but a cattle thief and a hired gun, and yet he walks around loose.
He'll crap himself in time.
He says he'll crap himself in time. I'll listen to it 100 times. There's nothing else he could be saying.
He'll trap himself.
I thought it was
he'll trap himself in
but
time.
But I think he'll crap himself in time is better. And I also, what's more, is I take that meaning to be he's going to do it in metric time to music. preferably Fraser the Friendly Lion or whatever it is.
Yeah, he'll crap himself in time to Fraser the Sensuous Lion by Sarah Vaughan.
3-4.
That was remarkably prescient. No spoilers, but spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
He does crap himself, I guess, in this episode. He must, right?
Yeah, probably.
Must. Yeah.
I would
we
say
all
so.
Know you
revoke claim to your bowels when you get shot.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I have to admit now that I did go back and rewatch that moment again and again to see if there was evidence of him crapping himself, and I didn't see any evidence, but that doesn't mean he didn't, because he was wearing pants.
Masterful screenwriting held back by network television.
Once again. I can't believe it was Trap. I swear to God, I'm going to see if I can hear it now, but I doubt I'll be able to. Well, so now what do we got? We got Andy Fulmer is running for mayor, and so Paw drops in on him, and now this fella Andy Fulmer is running for mayor, and he's on a platform of Virginia City for Virginia City, and he doesn't like them foreigners, and he's got a whole thing where he's trying to gin up hostility toward foreigners to win an election, right?
Right.
Is that fair assessment of what this fella's up to?
Yeah. Common practice for election.
Yeah, a winning strategy.
To this day.
Also, his casting really is just too on the nose. I couldn't get that. You wouldn't be able to get that by today.
How so? What you mean?
He looks so much like a caricature, like a you know, boardwalk drawing caricature of Donald Trump. It is
actually. No kidding. I never thought of that.
Right. It's like when he really gets going, you're like, he doesn't look like Donald Trump. What he looks like is a cartoon of Donald Trump.
Yeah. A political cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like he's got like a holding a big sack that just says like graft or whatever on it.
And there's like a big elephant behind him.
Yeah. I love political cartoons.
Oh, yeah. They're the best.
The unions.
Yeah. Okay.
Taxation without representation, and it's a big cake. Statue of Liberty pulling up her dress so a mouse can come out that's wearing a name tag that says, I don't know what the fuck, Liberty and shit. Yeah.
Big oil.
Tariffs.
Yeah. Liberty's ankle is tariffs.
Uh-oh, my necklace says Holly Smoot.
They say if you have to explain your joke, it doesn't work, right? But how about if you have to label every image of your joke?
This kettle literally named Teapot Dome. Are we wasting people's time?
I hope not, because here comes a big scene now. We got Jimmy talks to Hoss and Joe. This is the scene with the giant present. Again, Hoss is concerned about eating a bird's nest. And now, it appears Jimmy works in a stable, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in there working in a stable. And Sally Ridley rides up, and she's getting cat calls from Billy Wheeler and all that. And Jimmy sort of comes to defend her honor a little bit there. And Billy threatens Jimmy, I think punches him.
Yeah.
Right?
Slaps him around a little bit
like that. And there's an exchange which I was confused by, where he's like, leave me alone, to Sally. And she says, all I did was bathe your face. A girl would do that for anyone. And he says, yeah, for anyone. And she says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And he says, I'm used to it. I did not understand the exchange.
I mean, I guess the implication is anyone, including a Chinaman.
Okay.
But.
Right.
Obviously, it's not particularly relevant what her character's all about, but it did seem to veer multiple times in her scene.
This is it. This is her one scene.
Yeah, but you know, because it was also this might be the 60s, 50s, 60s, you know, choreography of it. Mm. I did not understand whether that kiss was consensual.
Oh, neither did she.
Yeah, right. I think, but what a deep conflict. What a rich character. She really has and then it's like she's sympathetic, but then she's still like kind of like liberal racist.
Yeah.
And then, but like, you know, feels bad about it, then stands up for him. And then.
Well, she's a bit of a strumpet. We know that. Oh, she's out having a good time.
All that in. She had the most arc, most depth, most character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that line between I want to be kissed, I don't want to be kissed is very blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Admittedly, sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's just another thing you got to unfocus your eyes from.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Just please don't pay attention to any. If you think about it, that's when the problems happen.
Don't think about it. Just enjoy it. And this, okay, so why is Sally Ridley only in one scene? We're about to see. She's down there looking after Jimmy, and her father comes in, and her she's down on her knees taking care of Jimmy, who's been slapped around a little bit, and here comes her father, J.R. Ridley. Oh, boy.
Sally.
Father.
Get into the house.
But, Father.
Did you hear me?
Why, what have I done?
You've disgraced my name, flouting yourself in front of this heathen.
I was just helping Jimmy. Billy Wheeler hit him.
And I thank Billy Wheeler for that.
Father, how can you say that? Jimmy didn't do anything.
You get into the house before I thrash you.
I'm not afraid of you, Father. I haven't done anything wrong. Every time I look at a boy, you see evil.
Shame!
Sally!
You keep away from her.
You shouldn't have done that, Mr. Ridley.
Why?
Oh, Father, no!
He pulls a gun.
Father, no!
They grapple.
That seemed easily avoidable.
And yeah.
Easily avoidable.
She goes down like a sack of potatoes the moment she's shot. There's no suffering, thank goodness.
No. Yeah.
The moment the gunshot goes, it's lights out, she's gone.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, so what happened?
Abrupt.
Yeah.
Very, very abrupt. And it's her father who shot her. And by the way, his response to shooting his daughter is, oh, you know.
Pretty chill.
Pretty chill.
Who's going to clean that up?
Yeah. Yeah. Just sort of like, oops, a daisy.
Yeah.
Well, because Jimmy said, you shouldn't have done that, which I guess is maybe vaguely threatening. And it made JR pull his gun and it made her jump at him. And they wrestled over that gun.
The amount of, like, not just gunplay, but pointing guns at folks really ramps up at this point. And I guess I had such a rose colored glasses of, you know, conception of Bonanza.
Oh, really?
I didn't really understand. It was just like fairly violent play that was on once a week.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's plenty of gunfire. Lots of people get killed. Usually
like
young women.
Pretty chill. Like this, it is sort of like, these people are neighbors and sort of seem to be routinely pointing guns at each other all the time, which just seems like it'd be rather stressful. I guess that's the cowboy way, but...
Yeah. Absolutely. You don't have time to sit there and go, now let's sit down and talk through our... I got my gun on you first.
Yeah.
And therefore... I get to walk down this street and you don't.
Yeah. Even if you're my daughter. Even, I win an argument by pulling my gun and shooting you.
Yeah, exactly. So now it seems that Jimmy has been in the same room as a dead person. And now that's problems for him, because if you're that girl's father, well, what you going to do? You might as well say he did it, not me, I suppose. Right?
Yeah.
So
classic.
Now, yep. It's his birthday party, but he's not there. He's an hour late, and he comes in, and he's all dirty. His face is dirty.
Yeah.
Right?
He needs a face bath.
He needs a real face bath. He's been chased, and he's been beaten, and he is accused of murder. Okay? And luckily, the Cartwrights are there. But then the posse comes around, and they say, we're either taking him to the jail, or we're roping him up right here. And the Cartwrights say, all right, let's just take him over to the jail, and we'll, sure, that'll work out fine. Yeah. We believe you. We know you didn't kill anybody, but we're going to bring you over to jail anyway and lock you up for your safety.
But they even express a doubt in that scene, and they're like, but still, we got to...
Express a doubt about...
Right, because he's... Or Jimmy's like... Everyone gets a fair trial in America, and the Cartwrights are like,
Even Haas, the dumbest and simplest of them all, even Haas is like, I'm not so stupid, I don't know this.
Yeah, well, there is a little bit of a simple off between Haas and Jimmy in this episode. The two of them are just the innocence of children.
Because I thought what this was, it was going to kind of become a showdown, sort of like a tense, like,
oh, you're not getting him?
Yeah. But I guess they do that later. We just need, again, a third act that doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're killing time to get to what they could have got to right away.
Yeah.
Well,
this is a tight half hour.
Yeah. The first half hour of the show?
No, I mean, we could turn this episode into thrilling half hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, but then you wouldn't have time for your mind to wander and get them to go to the bathroom and all that stuff. This was on at a time when you couldn't pause it. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
had to just say, I've lost the thread. I'm going to the turlet.
Yeah.
And then come back and say, all right, I get it now.
The thread will return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they lock him up, but the posse still wants him, right? There's a tong meeting where,
meant to jump in. So the tong, this is me kind of remembering this from Chinese, but I think tong, I think it even says, no, that on one, there's Chinese in the back that I think at one point is like, this is like the Chinese store. I think. And then, but Tong, it was sort of just like Tongzhen is one way that people talk, say Chinese people, and Zhen is people. So like, it's just sort of like the Chinese community.
I
believe.
Okay.
I believe.
So this is the Tong, which is like
the Chinese folks.
The community.
Yeah.
The Chinese community, which in Virginia City is Five Guys.
Yeah.
About.
It feels right, to be honest.
Okay.
It's kind of a lot, if anything.
Here's like five guys there who are the Tong. And but here, man, this is a weird scene because the old man kind of says, hey, you know, Jimmy is walking around in jeans and American style clothes that. So not a big deal if he's to get killed by his mom.
I mean, suit the punishment to the crime and the crime to the punishment, I guess.
Yeah, let him go. Let this one go.
Yeah.
It is truly wild. It's like this is a small community. So we are talking about 20% of our sons can go.
Yeah,
it's just back of the envelope at 10 to 20% of our children.
Yeah, that's an understandable loss. He says, young eyes can see great distances and risk is the privilege of youth. That's his that's his sort of a philosophical way of saying, oh, I'm not going to lift a finger to prevent your child for no good reason.
That'll teach him to go to college.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? And that's a theme. That's a cross-cultural theme, it feels like. Oh. No one likes when their uppity kid goes to college.
Right.
And every culture can vibe with that.
I agree with that. Burn all the colleges down, I say.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But, so now we have an inquest, which is not a trial.
No, it's an inquest for a trial?
It's an inquest to determine if there will be a trial.
Wow.
But a judge is there.
This sounds like an episode of Appointment to Adventure.
Just a lot of paperwork.
I know.
Just an inquest to adventure.
Yeah. So everybody testifies against Jimmy, basically, right? Is that what happens? Yeah. Does JR even testify? Has he been hypnotized yet? I forget.
Yes, he has. He has been hypnotized. He gets hypnotized, dehypnotized, then rehypnotized.
Yeah. This poor guy's brain.
Anytime JR finds himself in front of Fulmer, Fulmer just says to him, just hypnotizes him into testifying against Jimmy.
That's right.
Yeah, into accusing
Jimmy. It's like in a cartoon. If it was a cartoon, Fulmer's eyes would be like little spirals.
Yeah, that's right. And then he'd eat alum and his head would shrink.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing in his dialogue that's particularly persuasive, I have to say. But somehow JR goes, okay, yes, I will falsely accuse the boy.
Speaking of Trump, it's just the last thing he heard. You know, that's what he goes with.
Yeah. So Jimmy must stand trial, and then there's a bunch of merchants who get together and say, we want the Chinese out, and then the Cartwrights are in the sheriff's office, and they get deputized to defend Jimmy from the gathering mob out there, which is really just 10 guys about. Ain't such a big mob.
No, it ain't.
But also, again, presumably in the next episode, having had a gunfight with these people, they're going to go to those stores and, hey, sorry about the bullet holes, and hey, oh, my bad.
They don't do that. They just let it be.
Yeah. It's just fine. But that's what I'm saying. Water under the bridge. What's a few bullets between friends?
Right. It's just, it might as well.
I've never shot at
sugar.
Even one of my friends.
Oh, you never? Haven't?
Or neighbors.
No?
Really?
Anyone.
Oh, God. Yeah. We're shooting at each other all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just want to get your attention to see what you can do about the sprinklers going off.
Think fast.
Yeah, kinda. I'll fire a gun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised to hear that. I don't know how you resolve conflicts.
Yeah, but what do you do with your gun if you don't do that?
Yeah.
I did genuinely, when I moved to Los Angeles, look into buying a gun because I'm left-handed.
Oh.
And I had been to a shooting range in Las Vegas on the way here, kind of the first one since I was a Boy Scout. And I was like, am I a gun guy now?
Wow.
Now, I'm not a gun guy.
Is it because you had to buy a special left-handed gun?
Yes. It was. I truly got a whole thing because I was like shooting all these right-handed guns and all the shell casings flying across my face.
Sure.
Oh. And I was like, well, that's annoying.
You was going to buy a gun because you figured I'm going to go to firing ranges a bunch now and they're only going to have right-handed guns.
Yeah, so I might as well get a semi-custom.
Oh, wow. I thought you meant was like when the shit goes down, you're not going to be able to just pick up any gun from a dead person's hand.
No,
in the
I guess I could. Okay. Yeah, having like accidentally dropped a brick on the home invader in the yeah. apocalypse scenario, I'm like, well, this is where I find who I measure of a man type stuff. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, but the grip's all weird. And then so I just give up.
You just give up and you allow yourself to be yeah. harvested for parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, yeah. but I did. I went down that road. Anyway, wow. not a gun guy. It's still being crafted in Vienna, I think, is where I was trying to order.
Oh, my God.
What? A Viennese left-handed German gun?
What kind of gun
Heckler
was this?
And Koch.
Oh, a Heckler and Koch, yeah.
Koch.
My goodness. Yeah. Well, I like, because, you know, I'll shoot with my left and my right, and yeah. What I try to get is the shell casings to crash into one another in midair. That's what I love the most. Wow. Doesn't happen very often, but when it does, yeah, that little ting right at your eye. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's
worth it.
Yeah, yeah, man.
That's real nice.
That's the best. So I wouldn't change that for the world.
I just have mine is a ambidextrous gun, so it ejects the shells straight back into my mouth.
Straight up.
Just swallow them.
At the yeah. end of a gunfight, oh, you swallow them. I was going to say, bit them at your enemy.
Actually, yeah. like you could do a big cartoon smile like when piano's dropped on Daffy Duck, and it's all
oh, he's got piano keys.
And
yeah.
I will just say again, alum.
Okay. Well, now, here's this point in the show where my mind began to wander. They've been deputized. There's a whole thing, the Cartwright mob, and there's mob, and Adam goes to talk to Amanda. That's what happens. Amanda yeah. Ridley is Sally Ridley's sister.
Yeah.
And he goes to talk to her. There's almost another semi-consensual kiss here, but now, she does crumple into the arms of a strong man.
Did you notice yeah. that her house is the exact same house where he held that woman that got shot in his arms in a previous episode?
So this I did not notice oh, yeah, that yeah. this time.
Yeah.
This is the house. Well, you know, there's only so many houses in Virginia City. And there's so many women dying on this show, they might as well just move into the house. She was abruptly shot by accident.
Yeah, it did feel like that scene turned into like a kind of like a weird rom com. Like it felt like Hitch for like
yeah.
for like 4 minutes.
You'll find Bonanza has no problem with major shifts in tone.
Yeah, yeah. it was very like, oh, this is what we're doing. We're gonna sort of seduce the woman into
yeah.
Just veering from the only character trait she had so far.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it works.
Tiny-toothed Adam, and he's at it again.
Yeah. So now Adam is going to go with J.R. Ridley and Amanda Ridley straight over to Fulmer's office. Why Fulmer? I don't know. And tell him, okay, never mind what I said before. I'm going back to what I said the first time, that it was an accidental shooting and it wasn't Jimmy that done it. And then Fulmer again hypnotizes JR yeah. somehow into
oh, we I think we forgot to mention yeah. Having successfully won the racist trial.
Yeah.
The Fulmer decides, well, fuck it, let's lynch him anyway.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep, rendering exactly. the existence of the trial scene extremely moot.
I do get yeah. a little confused about Fulmer's attitude, because he's a lot of the time he's like, let it boil. We got him just where we want him. Yes, he's always very happy about each development, even as the developments are very yeah, different to one another.
Zigzagging at 90 sort of, degree angles to yeah. one another.
We want him to go on trial. We want to hang him. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to the turlet one time, you're out of the loop.
You're out of yeah. the loop.
But go twice.
Yep, you're back
Loops
in.
Right back.
This is a two-turlet show.
Crap in time.
Yeah, crap in time. So, okay, Hoss loves jailhouse beans.
Oh, I should say, somewhere around here is when I had if you'll permit, a bit of a digression again.
All right.
In the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I believe one of the roles was that Leonardo DiCaprio, right, had been on was Bonanza.
Most likely.
Yeah, I think it was Bonanza, something like that. Anyway, it was about yeah. that same era of Hollywood. And yeah. This episode of Bonanza is just generally a less racist portrayal of Chinese people than the 2018-19 produced Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was truly wild to me to realize that in that depiction of this time, that shit was more racist than their depiction of the Western times.
Wow.
It was...
See that?
Truly more woke as far as Chinese people go
yeah.
than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. Bonanza was a high point of all things you considered good.
Yeah, people don't really give us enough credit for watching this show as white men.
Yeah, damn it.
I mean,
yeah.
legitimately.
I'd like an award.
Yeah. What a... But that was... I was like...
Let me just say...
you're seeing one episode.
Yeah, I'm hearing that now. But this episode, what an outlier.
I know. And the ones, the episodes, I think I said this earlier, the episodes that aren't about racism find a way to make it in there in the wrong way.
It must be the focus. Just, when they're like a very special episoding it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, so now what happens here? There's a line. If we let Jimmy Chang die, we'll really be condemning Sally and ourselves. I believe Amanda says that to her father or something.
Yeah. Oh, so that's their concern.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. Yes. It's about me. So that turned Ridley around. And I believe he tells everybody it was an accident, right? Yeah. Didn't he do that?
Yeah.
And then, but Fulmer whips up the lynch mob, and now we have a big shootout. And it comes right down to it. Jesse Tibbs versus Adam, who we know don't like each other from way back.
No.
And it's a shootout between them two, and Adam kills Jesse. And Amanda tells the sheriff the truth. And that's it. And the whole town turns against Fulmer like that. That's it.
Yeah.
What made him do that exactly? That they realized he was behind them being confused about what happened or something.
Yeah, someone likes a loser.
The recantation from the dad.
Uh-huh.
I forgot the dad's name already.
J.R. Ridley.
J.R.
Oh, yeah.
There was also, as far as the racist part of this goes, the idea that the racist lynch mob that was prepared to commit a racist murder to further their racist nativist aims can simply be turned off like that.
Oh, instantly.
Is... I think history has shown that's not how it goes.
No, I don't know. They just needed to be told one fact.
Yeah.
And then and believe it.
Yeah.
And then they're instantly back on board.
Oh, I'm sure that's true, because definitely this episode had to be written by a racial conglomeration that everyone had a greater understanding. It wasn't written by white men that are solving it in an instant.
No, absolutely not. Very thoughtful.
Yeah, that's, I mean, TV's history has been to sanitize those people always. Yeah. You know, so
they all came to their senses.
Exactly.
Virginia City came to its senses.
They're all good people at heart. They just got whipped up by one demagogue.
Yeah.
One and only. If he weren't around, no one would be racist.
Well, and we don't get to see the rest of what happens with the mayoral campaign, but I assume they elected a Chinese man to be the mayor of Virginia City.
It must be that Pat.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the end of the episode. They let Jimmy out of jail and on to the rest of his wonderful life.
This makes me sad how many we got left. Not many.
I'm sorry to say, as of today, there's only 411 episodes left of Bonanza for us to recap on this show. It's sad, isn't it? Can you believe they only made 431 of these, Andrew?
How many did they make a season?
About 30.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's a shame. But now our love interest body count is up to 12 across 20 episodes with Sally Ridley. I'm not sure whose love interest she was. Maybe Jimmy in a way.
Yeah.
But in a way. I think she counts. So
wokeness.
That's it.
She was wokeness's bride.
Oh, right. You know?
If you think about it.
Right, exactly.
Pour one out.
Pour one out.
For the Schlitz wokeness bride.
Yep. Now, I did receive a communication from Amy Sleverson, and she says she is in Duluth, Minnesota. So that's different from being here.
Yeah.
Is it? I'm not clear on geography.
Yeah, it's not here. We're not there.
Oh.
So that's different. And so she will not be showing up anytime before we're done here today.
She couldn't have even made it here if she tried.
Even on the fastest polo horse.
Yeah.
She never would have made it. Yep.
Well, yeah. God bless her.
All right. Well, hell, she'll be here next time, maybe. And we will be talking about episode 21, season 1. Okay, what do you have to plug for us there, Andrew T?
Oh,
what
gosh.
Are you up to? You got your. Hey, is it still a blog?
It isn't really.
All right.
I
is anything still a blog?
Maybe there are no blogs.
We're just doing the podcast.
Yeah.
Yep. So just Yo, Is This Racist? And we recently went independent from our good hosts at Earwolf.
Uh-huh.
And check that out. If the racism game isn't to your taste. Spoiler alert, it's not particularly towards to mine. I just found Elaine. we also do a show. We have a premium show, a bunch of premium shows, suboptimalpods.com. And the stated goal of those shows is to not talk about racism. It does come up from time to time.
Uh-huh.
But we do more of the less heavy stuff, fun things. People of color, if you're a white person listening, you're feeling guilty and you need friends that aren't white, sign on up. You can buy some friendship for about $4 a month, maybe $5.
What
I don't remember.
Deal. That's a pretty good deal right there.
Yeah.
I spend $4 a month and now I don't have to say all my friends are white.
Exactly. That's all it takes.
Wow.
Less than a tenth of your Schlitz budget.
That's about right. All right. So that's it. You get your premium suboptimal podcast with the membership there. You get your, you see all these
that's
other
right.
podcasts. And
yep.
then, but if you don't want to do that, you can listen to Yo Is This Racist.
That's
and
right.
That's just everybody.
And I guess like, keep your eyes peeled on your TV set. Eventually something I wrote will come up.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting.
But I can't, you know, all that stuff, a bunch of stuff I can't talk about and I shouldn't have in the first
You're
place.
Writing for the CIA, exactly. we should say.
Yeah.
You're writing comedy for the CIA.
Appointment so, for adventure.
Yeah. He can't say so. What do you got anything coming up there, Mutt Taylor?
Nothing except I've just been doing a series of mosaic nudes.
Mosaic nudes.
Yeah, and the coffee table, mosaic tile coffee tables of nudes.
With tiles. Tile mosaic nudes.
Yeah.
So pixelation's built right in.
That's right. Yeah, you can't, I mean, I try to get, I'm using my little snippers to get those tiles as small as possible. Get as much pornographic detail in there as I can, but as much as you try, you can't get it.
Lots
well,
of physics.
Everything's HD these
days.
There's lots
of different kinds of nudes, but we should just let people know these are extremely explicit.
And extremely nude.
Extremely.
And again, they are kind of pixelated in a way. It's as if, let's say, the Sega Genesis did nudes.
Okay.
Yeah. So 16-bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And these may be art, but they're not what you call art nudes.
No. In fact, there's not a single fella named Art that posed for one of these.
Never.
These are more Nancy, Sheila, and one Ephraim.
Ephraim.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
and let's just say his coffee table has just a little side table that goes with it.
Uh-huh. He spilled down to a second table.
That's right. It's an oddly shaped table. I'll just leave it at that.
I think I understand, although I'm not sure what I'd use that table for. But you figure
You put
it out.
Your dick on it.
Oh. Well, now, I got to get one. All right. I mentioned last time that I had applied to be deputized by the Health and Human Services to go after vampire bats.
Right.
And I have not heard anything, so I have scheduled a flight to go talk to them in person.
Wait, so you're going to go deal with that before you deal with the vampire bats?
I would like to do it with an official badge.
Yeah.
I would really like at this point to be able to slaughter vampire bats in the name of public health with a badge.
Boy, you really have gone over to the side of the man. You're just doing paperwork to doff your hat now and getting permits to kill bats. I never thought I'd see the day.
Hell, maybe it's
age. You do the paperwork now or 10 times more paperwork after the fact?
Got that right. Yep, take care of it now. Make it official. And then shoot whatever you want. All right, folks. Well, that'll do it, right? That's an episode.
That's it.
This podcast. Now my trademark sign-off. Sign off!
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gorley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.